You're listening to media from University Lutheran Church and Student Center. We are a multi-generational, Jesus-centered community of scripture, faith, and grace located in Tallahassee, Florida, on the campus of Florida State University. To learn more and to get connected to other resources, please visit universitylutheranchurch.org. We hope that the next few moments are a time when God speaks into your life by the power of His Holy Spirit about His Son, Jesus Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Three in One, who gives us an opportunity in this life before the banquet. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I don't know if you've had that experience recently of going out to eat someplace, and you go out, and as long as this is not, you know, like fast food or counter service, you go out, and the host seats you in your chair, and then pretty soon you have some smiling server who comes by, tells you their name, and then asks you what you want to drink, and after they take your drink order, they bring that drink, and you decide what you want on the menu, and then they go back, and it's on the back of the house at that point. Then it's up to them to see when you get your meal, and sometimes there's a little bit of a significant wait. And so I think that kind of puts us into the sense of where we are in a lot of these readings today. That kind of moment of when we're waiting, the order has been made, we know what's coming, and yet, well, we've got some stuff to do. Depending on if you're eating alone or if you're eating with somebody else, you maybe are thinking about talking to them instead of looking at your phone. Or maybe you're just talking to them about what's on your phone. Or maybe you're just kind of watching TikTok videos together on your phone, and that's kind of what you're doing. You see, there's all sorts of different choices that you have to kind of fill that time. There's all sorts of different choices that you have in order to fill up the time that you have in that moment before you've placed your order and before you get down to the actual act of eating it. And that is a little bit of where the Apostle Paul is in this letter to the Philippians. We've been talking about the Apostle Paul in this letter to the Philippians now for a few weeks. And basically what's happening in this letter is that Paul is writing a letter to his friends in Philippi who have sent him a gift. They've sent him a monetary gift because where he's at right now is in jail. Now, jail doesn't look the same way that you might think that it looks. He's under house arrest in Rome. He's actually kind of doing pretty well. Rome doesn't really operate prisons in the way that we think of operating prisons, like Wakulla CI that's nearby here. Rome instead does things a little bit differently. And so one of the things that Rome does, if they think that you're not a flight risk, is they'll actually let you sort of rent out a place. But you have to stay there, and you're under supervision of a Roman guard, and that's kind of where Paul is. But because Paul is under supervision of a Roman guard, well, he can't exactly go out there and do his normal job of tent making. And so he needs some money in order to continue to rent this place, in order to continue to have food. And so the Philippians have been sending him that money. They've been sending him that money in order so that he can continue to kind of sit in this house and write letters to people. And so he's writing a letter to the Philippians. And as he's writing this letter to the Philippians, what he's doing is he's reflecting on where he's at. Because although it may be sounding kind of like a nice place to be, it's still prison. And he's still there because what he's done is he has said, well, I'm going to appeal to Caesar. And in that appealing to Caesar, he has maybe a 50-50 chance of actually living after he sees his court date. And so he's kind of in this moment of, well, whenever I get that call, whenever the Roman centurion comes in and says, hey, buddy, it's your turn. You get to go to the courthouse. what am I going to do in between the time that I'm called up there and maybe probably will die and now? And as he's reflecting on that, he reflects back on his life. He reflects back on all of the things that he's been able to do in the power of Christ. He's reflecting on this church that he's writing to, where he started this church with a seemingly kind of strange series of events where he exorcised a demon out of a girl, got thrown into prison for that. He was in prison a lot. Got thrown into prison for that, and then there was an earthquake. He didn't leave when the earthquake allowed him to leave, and then the Roman jailer came in, and he was ready to kill himself, but he said, no, don't do that. And then he went to the Roman jailer's house, and the Roman jailer's people in the house, they said, hey, this Christianity stuff sounds really great. Why don't we become Christians? And they became Christians, and they got baptized, and then they became a house church, and then it started to grow. And he's reflecting about all of that stuff, and it's like 10 years after that, and now he's going, wow, what an amazing life I've been able to live. And here I am in this moment where I'm starting to see all of these things come to fruition, and then tomorrow I might be dead. It's a very intriguing moment in Paul's life. And as Paul has been reflecting on that intriguing moment, he's recognizing that, well, all of us are kind of in that same period of time. Now, I don't think most of you have active court cases. Maybe a few of you. There is this pastoral confidentiality thing. Most of you, if you do have court cases, I at least don't know that they are court cases that are going to land you in a situation where there's going to be capital punishment. Thank goodness. But you all recognize that, well, maybe you don't have that long after all. You have a series of, well, months and weeks and years, and then there will be this moment at which you die. And that moment at which you die is going to be a moment in which, hopefully, because you have believed in what Jesus Christ has told you, you've believed that he has died on the cross for you, you've believed that he has come here in order to save you from your sins, because of all of those things, hopefully, that you will then be invited into this great banquet feast of the resurrection. And that's where all of the Philippians are as well. That Paul is writing to the Philippians and he's saying, you know, you may not be hauled in by Emperor Nero's goons tomorrow, but we're all kind of in this moment where we're waiting. Where we're waiting for that life sentence to get handed down to every one of us, because we all get that life sentence handed down to us. Human life has a 100% mortality rate. And we're all going to end up in that place. And because we're Christians, at one level, we get to sort of look at that in a way that is kind of happy, kind of expectant even. It's sort of like, you know, we've already put in our order. We've said, okay, well I would like to eat the resurrection. I would like to eat this great meal that God has produced for me. That great meal that Isaiah was talking about in this first reading. That great meal that God has prepared for me and given to me because of his son, that I don't even have to pay for this, that Jesus has paid for this. I'm kind of waiting for that meal. And I know it's going to be great. And in some ways, you can just wait for the meal. It doesn't matter what you do. You can just watch TikTok videos for the rest of your life. And God has promised you that it will be okay. But is that a full life? Is that a life that is going to have meaning for you? Is that a life that is going to reflect the great cost at which you were purchased? Well, maybe not so much. And so what Paul is doing here in this letter to the Philippians is he's kind of giving them advice on what that life might look like. He's giving them advice of how you wait. And really, how you wait is just a question of what you're doing while you're waiting. And so Paul says some things. Paul says, "The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." And so the first thing that Paul is telling them is to pray. Pray, ask God for stuff. You can continue to flag down your waiter and say, I need a refill on my drink. I need this other thing before this meal comes. You can go to God. You can go to him and you can say, I have these requests. I have these things. And you can even give that person thanks. You can say, isn't this a great place that you've given me to live in? And then he goes a little bit further. He says, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if anything is worthy of praise, think about these things. And so that's the part of what we're able to do as well, is we're able to concentrate on the good. We're able to concentrate on what is pure and honorable and good in our lives. And we're able to do that because we're not completely subsumed by this anxiety that we have over life. Because that's how Christian lives should look different. Because if you're not a Christian, then anxiety in your life makes a lot of sense. Even if you're a Christian, anxiety in your life makes a lot of sense. But as a Christian, you can say, I know how this is going to turn out. I know what the meal is going to look like, and the meal is going to be good. It's going to be the best meal I've ever had in my life, and it's never going to stop. And so because of that, I can concentrate on the good and try to put down the anxiety in my life. He continues on, whatever you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things and the God of peace will be with you. And so Paul here is doing that weird thing that Paul does. He tells the people in his life, hey, you know, the stuff that you see me doing, the prayers that you hear me praying, the things that you see me do in my life, I want you to do those too. And Paul is not doing that from entirely a selfish point of view. He's not saying, well, you should do these things because I'm Paul and I'm really great. But he's saying those things because he's saying, I'm Paul, and these things really help. These things help me to live my life in a way that is centering God in my life so that I don't have to be so concerned with the trivialities of the world, including this Roman centurion who's sitting beside me and guarding me. Said, I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at strength you've received your concern for me, meaning that gift that they sent him. Indeed, you were concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I learned the secret of plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. And that last line, he's not talking about winning football games. No matter what the eye black will tell you. What he's talking about is being in a place where because you know of the meal that's coming for you, That you can be in those moments where you go, okay, I'm in a moment where I'm hungry. I'm in a moment where I'm needy. Or you can be in a moment where you recognize that you're full or that you're in abundance. But those things don't matter because you know the surpassing greatness of what God has for you. And so Paul gives us those things to do while we're waiting. To pray. To emulate those whose spiritual lives seem to be something that we can emulate. To learn the secret of being content in all times. And as Paul writes those things out, he's giving us a picture of what this Christian life can be like before we come to our end. At the end of World War II, at the very end, kind of days right before the war ended, there was a German political prisoner in this German prison called Flossenbürg. And Flossenbürg was this German prison that held the Lutheran pastor Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Now, Dietrich Bonhoeffer was in there because he was actually a part of a plot to kill Hitler. And because he was a part of that plot to kill Hitler, he was there as a political prisoner. And because the war was ending and they just heard that Hitler had died and they weren't sure exactly how or why he had died, they were taking all of the political prisoners that ever wanted to do this Hitler guy some harm, and they were taking them all to the gallows. And so sure enough, they were taking Dietrich to the gallows. And Dietrich had actually had this kind of time that looked a lot like Paul. He had had this time in the Flossenbürg prison where he was actually able to write a ton of letters. He was able to write books. He was able to write a lot of things to a lot of people. He was able to use that time well in order to get to a place where he was ready to eat the meal. And they came to him one morning and they said, "Dietrich, it is time." And as he was leaving, there was a English prisoner in that prison, and he said to that English prisoner, "This is the end. But for me, it is the beginning. The beginning of that life. The beginning of that life where we will be with Christ in the resurrection. The beginning of that life where we will be eating that meal together. The beginning of that life where we will be invited into that banquet hall and we will be given our wedding clothes. The wedding clothes that Christ has given to us himself, the forgiveness of our sins. The good works that he has stored up for us, the good things that he has given to us by his gospel, those things that we couldn't get up ourselves, but rather those things that he has given to us as a gift. That day will be a glorious day. That meal will be a glorious meal. When the waiter comes by and drops that sizzling plate of fajitas right in front of us. And we rejoice in the meal that is laid there before us. And we say, "This is what we've been waiting for." That day will be a great day. But today can be a great day too. This week can be a great week. It will all be so tiny and inconsequential compared to that day. But this day, God has given us things that we can do. A future that we can look forward to. And a life that is completely subsumed in Christ. So as you go out into this week, know that that great meal is coming. And you have some things that you can do while you wait. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this media from University Lutheran Church and Student Center. To learn more and to get connected to other resources, please visit universitylutheranchurch.org. If you would like to financially support more media from University Lutheran, please visit our website and click the Give Now button, which will enable you to engage in the Christian discipline of giving tithes and offerings to God through His church. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up His face upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.